Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you. This is July 6, 1992, lesson with Ted Green, Monday night, lessons for 9 o'clock, okay? You know, of the day.
Just from, for me, unimpressive, which isn't his fault. Any
right.
Human being has a right to
sure.
Be. Says everybody's blessed with great ability, but unimpressive to very, very wild.
Mm-hmm.
And impressive in that respect, where you hear a guy taking chances and playing with more crazed intensity.
Right.
I've seen him do that on TV in the last 2 years, and he can't have a new comeback.
Mm-hmm.
But his older records, I either got a guy out of control and making a lot of kind of
right.
Almost what sounds like mistakes to just like average or above, slightly above average playing, which didn't please me. I was sad. I didn't want to feel this way.
Right. I mean, I think I have one other CD of his that is wild, but I mean wild, I mean cool wild. It's just like his singing. Just
well, singing is so intense.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
So crazy.
Jesus. I just want to so check. Deep. Check this,
you know.
On. There are some the second tape had stuff. It explained the assignments good, which was fine, so I didn't lose any on that.
What were the assignments? I'll have to look
okay.
On the tape because I don't have it in the file for
yeah, something. What you gave me was accompaniment, a foggy day.
In, wait, don't tell me. In one beat per chord, right?
Right?
That's right, you had asked me for that, and did I give you a walking bass, no, walking
no.
Chord blues also?
No.
Or did I give you modern?
You must
like,
believe in
rain?
Spring.
Oh,
yeah.
Gave, that's right, the lead sheet on that.
Right.
Is that, did you get to hear Bill Evans play it?
No. I might have, and I didn't know that he did it, but if...
Have you played that melody enough to
I love
hear
it?
It? It's interesting.
I love
Isn't
it.
That a beautiful song?
I didn't spend, tell you the truth, tons of time on it. I spent a couple nights.
That's fair.
Yeah, a couple nights. It's singing it.
Can you hear it in your head still?
Let's
get a rough. Let's get from my ear. How's your E doing? You hearing E? There it is. Roughly.
Okay.
Oh, I was a half step flat, which I often do because I love E flat so much. It's terrible on me, but I can move it.
It.
Now, what I want you to hear is B. This is the starting key, is it, or C sharp?
Starts out with C sharp minor 7 flat.
Right. It's in B minor. That's right. So this is our key center. Sing a minor scale going descending.
Descending.
Try to hear. Start on a higher note. Above the key.
Right.
That's one of the chord tones in this chord. That's right. One more, I think you did it right, but you added one note that I'm not sure about. So one more time, starting from there.
La 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 la.
Okay, yeah. You,
sort of, close.
Your contour is perfect.
Uh-huh.
What's not perfect
the pitch.
Yeah. It's worth it to work on pitch.
Oh, yes.
And why is that, Mark?
How it helps your air training a lot.
And what's the other big advantage?
Sounds good.
You can have a lot of fun and learn much
right.
about music and other things that are away from the guitar.
Yes.
Where you're out there doing anything else in life and you say, would I be? Somebody says, hey, could you sequence it that? You look around, this beautiful girl asks you, you go, ba da ba ba. She goes, oh, could you? You know, I mean,
yeah, right.
Anything could happen.
Sure.
The sequence, ba ba ba
ba ba ba.
You learn to hear
ba
ba
ba. Right.
You're going to have to work on getting a nicer tone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that as a harsh
no, tone. Of course.
I want you to love what you're doing audibly. Mm-hmm. Neither of us are going to be Ray Charles. That's the other
thing. No,
we've said it before. But you're not trying to get a nice tone.
That's part beyond. Of it.
I want you to go for tone at home sometimes when nobody's around to criticize anything. I don't mean like it should be great, but just pleasant enough. You probably don't even enjoy listening to what you're making. I can tell you. You don't hate it, but you're not digging
it. That's curvy.
I want to, when I make a sound, I don't want to hate it, because if I'm disliking it, then.
Sure.
So when I'm going, boo da bee, boo dee, bum. Now this is why exact pitch is required. Once you learn the secret that this thing is really sequenced half step down, that's an easy concept.
Sure.
It's that at first it seems all these beats, you go, I don't know, it leaps every other second. It's
right.
Then it's back to the fourth. We learn to hear it.
Right.
This is four, as opposed to also in minor. That's where the melody goes. It goes underneath the minor chord, right? That nine. You learn to sing minor nines descending. Nine is such a great
note. Cool.
We need to know how to sing arpeggios now from that.
Right.
Always descending at first, by the way, with arpeggios.
Why is that? You learn it? Really?
Your ear will improve more.
Really?
Yeah, because it's easier to hear everything ascending.
Mm-hmm.
What we have difficulty doing in thinking, plotting life strategies, everything is going in reverse.
Right.
Like thinking of a goal and working backwards. How do I get from that to that goal?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have trouble doing that, yet they'd be happier if they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, since I want to be a big star and have girls coming over every night, I mean, whatever the people do. I mean,
I can understand that.
So also, it's the way we hear. Luckily, there's a great bonus called music, which last time I checked, you and I were in favor of.
Yeah, sure.
We hear this.
Sure.
If I say, sing this line, you say, ba, ba, ba. I say, tell me about that first chord. You go, well, it was plainly a minor ninth tone. I say, could you hear that arpeggio? You go, well, I can hear the top note, the nine. You don't want to have to start down in the bass and work up to it.
No.
That'd be a fun parlor trick.
Right.
You want to hear, bum, 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 bum.
Right, gotcha.
If it's the 11 on top, you learn to recognize.
Exactly.
13 on top. Now it's way up. It's. Can you hear it now?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when Wes is playing along with any tune, you know, minor, say it's in B minor, and you go.
Yeah, that's way
that's
cool.
That's Wes.
13th.
11, 9. He has to go backwards sometimes, doesn't he?
I have a question
you
about
that. You recognize
that today.
Descending?
What's
line
that?
Is a Wes line?
Yes, I do.
He does do a lot of descending arpeggios.
I know.
So.
West Coast Blues, I think he does a great one.
Anything that says blues and has him play it is usually good. He just loves blues so much. Yeah, his West Coast Blues is sensational. Both versions.
So singing, I got off on that. I told myself, you know, and you have some comments in the sheet that, and I started doing that to Foggy Day, that in order to do this right, this is what we need to do. And so I spent a lot of time singing, and I also enjoyed the words. That song is really a lot about hope. It seems like a...
Isn't it a beautiful song?
It's a beautiful song.
It really
beautiful
is sensational. I've gotten into the words of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
How long, I wondered, would this thing last at the age of miracles?
Right. And about the rose, I can't remember, I don't remember all of them, but I thought it was just very, very great.
And suddenly, I saw you there. It's one of the only songs giving me a little goosebumps when I say, most of the songs are like, the sun's so bitter.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, a lot of tunes are dark. Although I don't mind it.
Yeah, this is a trip. It starts
It's nice that you noticed that, Mark. My applause to you, man.
I dig it. And it goes, what, B minor to C minor?
A lot of guitar players don't care about that stuff. Yeah. Oh, fuck that shit. We don't need the words.
Got to. I'm learning to really appreciate them.
It's taken me a long time, man. Over 40 years to live. You know, where I've been.
I love where I think, you know, there's so many different types of great things. I cover the waterfront front. You know, I'm working on that too.
Watching the sea.
I love it.
It's like somebody with such immense devotion and love waiting for the person they love to come home, right?
That Lady Day, I've listened to that a million times the last couple of weeks.
That's a poignant thing.
Have
you ever listened to the song time after time?
I've that one.
Sing the exact melody, right from the beginning. Oh no, that's called As Time
Goes By. Oh yeah, time after time. No, I played it a couple times. I have one of your sheets with it.
As a solo.
Right.
Thing? Is that it's on another sheet of Moon River or something?
Mm-hmm.
The sheet. Question for you.
I can't remember.
You said As Time Goes By. Have you seen the film all the way through ever that that's from?
Not really.
I recommend it, but you got to give it a serious watch. Mm-hmm. Else you have to concentrate. You can't really do too many other things with this particular movie and get the emotion from it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of emotion.
Oh, I know that.
You know about it, right?
Yes.
Casablanca?
Yes.
Highest praise. Mm-hmm. I can't praise a movie more than that. There's no better film. There
really
isn't. But there are movies that equal it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Ask people that really have watched it carefully, and everybody who, if they really love motion pictures, if they're not into, the scripting could have been a tad better.
It's not as good as Casablanca 4.
They go, the one starring Starsky and Hutch was a little. They're actually going to do it. It wasn't a fair thing, but Sky Howard Rosenberg wrote a column that they were going to make Casablanca again starring David Soul, and he didn't ask for the part, I'm sure. It's hard to turn it down if they're offering you $4 million, but then you go, wait a minute, I don't want to do Bogey's role. Nobody can repeat that role. Maybe I'll call Mark Levy. Maybe he'll take
Green. I'll give him the words, man. So, but anyway, time after time, you were...
You make time for that movie.
Because
you're one of the only guys I know that will get a charge from it. It's a sensational movie, and you will come away gasping for emotional breath and wishing that the damn thing would go on for another 3 hours.
I've seen it, but I can't. It's been a long time.
But if you never really watched it...
Because
I had seen it, too, as a kid, and I go, what's the big deal?
No,
it's okay.
But I do remember... You know how you remember by feelings a lot of times. And I do... There is a feeling in there that I remember this. But I agree with you. I need to sit down today.
What is it that you remember? You said there's a feeling?
Of sort of like a sad love.
There's sad love in there, but there's something better at the end.
Right.
But you got to be, you will have had to have
stayed
with attention through the whole thing, and then when the ending comes, you go, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. And then when it's over, like that, you go, oh no, it's not over, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, we need at least another 2 hours of this.
Right.
Even though it's already been 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's one of those.
Yeah, I have to...
I promise. I give you my word as a gentleman.
I've got a VCR, so I'll have to check it out.
It's worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else you have to give up in general is worth it. And if you love that and you realize that you love it and you want something else like it, you have to come back to me and discuss it. Don't be shy and say, what else do you know that's great like that? And the worst to say is, I've already seen that.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to find movies like that that are great, where you at the end you want it to continue.
Oh, yes.
When you're
I have certain movies I find Well, I have select taste too. I mean, I'm not. I was thinking today.
Are you tough to please?
Yeah, I am in some way.
That's okay.
Today,
you have a right to be. You can be anybody.
Is it okay if I smoke, or did you stop? Or
well, I'm just trying to be very good today with it. It's feeling.
It's
like
okay
I should be.
If
no, if you want it, I have no problem. I'll get you matches.
I was feeling or commenting to myself this morning how I really don't like Hollywood much. Not like it, but I'm worried just that
the town,
the movies that are coming out. That,
oh, the last
that,
five,
yeah,
10,
that,
20
that
years.
They've evidently, they've lost these originalities because of having so many sequels, and that's such a big thing, you know. And
which things are we referring? You mean like sequels, like Terminator 18 or
yeah.
something? But then you go, I don't want my kids to see Terminator anyway.
None, right? Exactly. So. But movies, have you ever saw, did you ever see Man in the Glass Booth?
I have not been to the theater. Now, this is no one's fault, nor do I say it's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just a busy person. The last
mm-hmm.
movie I went to see was when Peggy Sue got married, because a girl I know took me, and we were told it was the film of the year,
mm-hmm.
and we enjoyed it like crazy, but we didn't think it was that great. What we enjoyed were the few poignant moments, like when she's in the phone booth and calling
right.
her grandmother. But she's already been dead, you know, and
okay.
she's back. She gets to talk to her grandmother again.
So it's been a while.
It's been like 7 years, maybe.
But you got videos and stuff. So do you,
I'm taping right now. Roseanne Arquette and Carrie Fisher. I love both of them. I'd marry either
mm-hmm.
one. No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're both so great.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to watch this movie, whether I'll get to it for a year or not. How about you? You go to theater?
No. But
not lately.
What was the last movie I saw? Dancing with Wolves. I thought that
cinematography was
very good. Yeah, very movie.
Have you ever seen the other one called Never Cry Wolf?
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
That was great. I read the book. The lovely book. Yeah.
I saw that at a girl's house. It came on the screen. And that was a fairly late movie, but I was real impressed with that. Apparently they're making some great movies, aren't they? Like, people raved about Field of Dreams, which I've yet to see. Rain Man.
Rain Man was good.
They raved about, not Rain, the one like Rain Man, the guy said, it's even better. With somebody like, you know, characters. Oh, Big. Somebody said, you got to see Big. That was a good one, like early 80s, but they said it was a great
film. I thought Ghost had some good emotional content.
And for emotional things, I heard Ghost was fabulous. I heard it was supercharged romanticism.
Mm-hmm.
That if you were in love, you went out of there even more in love.
Right.
You know?
But I saw like Kurosawa a lot.
Kurosawa? Is that a director?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Japanese
heard.
Director. He wrote, he did The Magnificent, The Seven Samurai, which
Mm-hmm.
But some of his stuff is unreal.
Oh, so he's still, you're saying he's still making films?
Yeah, he made a film a year or two ago called Dreams. And it was about four or five of his dreams. One dream that he was with Van Gogh in this in this field painting. A variety of stuff. And
that would be an intense dream.
Yeah, a fantasy. It was a fantasy.
My wildest one in recent years like that, maybe half a year ago, was I was with Katharine Hepburn. She was young, and we were in bed, and I was trying my best to please her, and she was accepting such favors in a way that she wasn't used to. And I said, wow. When I woke up, I said, that was Katharine Hepburn you were just with? What was your tongue doing there? And I said, I'm going back. That I couldn't, because she was young and exciting and intelligent.
Did you ever see The Fabulous World of Baron von Munchausen?
It sounds like something I'd want to, I like the title already.
It's a fantasy. It's killer.
But I mean, do you ever have dreams like that where you say, I want to go back? The dream is great.
Not lately.
I don't usually, but when it's my mom, if it's either my mom or she ain't here anymore,
right.
when I see her,
oh, of course.
That was my mom. I was with my mom. So you try to get back, or somebody like I've admired, even though Kate Hepburn can be a total bitch and a total caustic woman, she's also got a lot kind of. When she was young,
the
kind of woman you would have wanted to talk to. And tell
I don't have dreams. I do have, like, sometimes feelings that that hit you, you know, that just for a while I just, wow.
Some person.
And music does that too. Music, this weekend, music has been great.
You're so evidently that with music. When you speak about Lester Young, you're feeling so good about that he lived, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. West just totally tore me up this weekend.
Mr. Montgomery.
I have a couple of questions.
You know his real name? John Wesley.
Oh, yes.
Right? Isn't that it? Do you have that bio?
I want to get it.
There's somebody who's on. Out of print, but somebody else is looking for it. I'm looking.
I mean, if you could get a deal, I'm in for a. In it, I mean. It's sold.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
It's out of print. I'm just looking for this, but it's hard to find.
But.
Anyway, some actors or musicians you were feeling close to, so.
Oh, man, Lester. All these books. You know, but Lester is. I really want to try and learn some of his lines. This is one thing we talk about singing, and I want to try and spend some time learning stuff from records. I've never really spent a lot of time on that.
Just learn the stuff you love. Anything else ain't worth your time.
Of course.
Good.
And it's a skill that I need, don't I? Or it's a skill that helps enhance me musically.
Depends on what you give up. It's a beautiful thing to work on. But if you have to sacrifice certain things, in your particular case, I might say, put it on a lower priority, that's all. Meaning, like, if you have other studies that you deemed as creating such a wellspring of good emotion inside of you that helps you cope with life better, stay with those. It's working. Why change it? You'll have plenty of other time where you might run up dry, and then you say, well, let me get to the transcribing thing. By then, your ears might be better quick. I used to waste time prematurely trying.
Right.
I didn't know until I tried. I tried the Joe Pass records when I was about 20, 19, 20. Couldn't get more than a couple notes.
So you get frustrated.
I'd keep trying, getting nothing. Because I didn't have... That's what my ear just couldn't find it.
Right.
So it was a waste of my time. So I finally realized and said, if you're only feeling bad now and you're not equipped yet, you must learn more about music.
Right.
Then later years when I tried, it was easier.
I'm seeing progress. One thing that's interesting, I'll put on a West album and I'll just not intentionally cop something, but I'll just go through, pick up the head, play the head. Oh, God, he's doing Willow Weep for me in C with Wynton Kelly. Wait a second, transcribe the head. Because I got the head, and so I wrote it down. Now play it with them.
You're speaking about something even more sane, Mark, which is you're transcribing within the context of having started to play along with them and needing to know what's going on so you can play effectively, as opposed to just sheer raw transcribing, which is a little different motor, shall we say.
Because I've never done all my friends have done in the past, work with Eric Clapton records, when we were kids, and boom, he comes to the jam and he is kicking ass. He sounds exactly like Eric.
Right.
And he walks off with the chicks.
Maybe they say, I like the quiet guy, the computer guy who plays the rhythm chords.
Yeah, I know. I could dig it. I knew that was coming. But
it happens.
No, I could dig it.
I want the quiet beetle, Mommy. I like George.
But I've never really sat down and done that. Now, whether that's good or bad. Now, for a long time, I said I wasn't going to do that because I want to play like me, And
autonomy is a noble aspiration, but if it's something, it's a simple process, Mark. If you're happy with the results you're getting by being you, stay with you. If you're unable to live, not quite being that dramatic, but if it's getting near. Cannot live without knowing what this human being was doing there, then you must transcribe for your own well-being.
Well, to learn.
Don't rest easy till you learn.
Right.
You
to learn other things.
Isolate it and study it. Why it sounds the way it does.
So bitchin'.
A deeper level to go on to. And you won't always get an answer, but it's a fun, deep ride to try to hang on to, which is not only why it is what it is, but why you love that sound.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you say, well, I don't know, I just love it. There's no answer. Zen, man. You don't always have answers.
Mm-hmm.
They're questions that have no answers because they're not all that Zen. That sound, but sometimes they're just, we don't think hard enough to find the answer.
Right.
I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you're the teacher, you assign me because Wes Montgomery's first album, he plays something where they go like this.
Yeah.
And the chords are... hearing a sound like that and being shocked. I mean, it almost, like electricity, almost like knocked me back from the speakers against the wall.
Right.
I said, that's exactly the way I want to play guitar. Exactly.
Forever.
Forever. But I couldn't find those notes. But then one day I said, damn it, it's not that fast. You're going to take it, even if it's snailed, one note at a time. Finally got the note. So then I had this run that I loved to probably play 20 times or 20,000 times. And I figured out what the notes were and why it worked. And if, again, if it's reversed. So I figured this out. You've assigned it to me. You've been playing this line since Bird Show TM46.
Sure.
Ted, I knew that line. Come on, buddy. Wake up, buddy. I learned that, you know, 40.
Come on, kid.
Yeah, 46 years ago, I knew that line. You say, here's the deeper level. Why do you like it? I don't know. It sounds like Charlie. I like everything Charlie. But, nah, come on. We need a better answer from you. Why does Charlie like it? Well, I don't know. He's Charlie. No, don't get fancy.
Because Lester liked it.
Yeah, right. What would Charlie say if you asked him to explain what makes it attractive? If he was having a particularly lucid day and spoke only in musical rather than metaphorical terms to describe it?
It's a rare one.
It would be fairly rare. How do we get him to put down that bottle and get his hand off that brazier strap? Anyway, we say, look, opera jazz, the modern jazz period, which began, I feel in the bebop, I love the swinging.
Sure.
The modern jazz era lives harmonically above the seventh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I say so, not because Marx
is
just
that. That's
just
how
does.
It is.
Thank you. Wes Montgomery doesn't go.
Right. That's Mark doing. That's Mark.
That's Django's era.
Yeah.
That sounds more like a Django. Without the fire and the tone. That's a Django level sophistication. I've never heard a Django record where he plays. That's a Wes way above the 7.
Thoroughly.
9, 11, 13 present and accounted for.
Right.
So, Mr. Montgomery says, from 9-11. Not only does he get up there, but he stresses him, he lingers on him, and makes him a focal point. So we're finding out that we like upper partials because that's what that jazz is about.
Right.
You could say, well, why do you like upper partials? That leads us where all questions, if you ask smart enough questions, they always lead to the same place, which is about taste.
Right.
Is I don't know.
Right.
I mean
right.
it. It's okay. That simple. No, I don't know. Why do we love that? Ask the maker. I used to say, ask the maker. Tell me when you.
I don't know, but I know how it affects me.
And that's a different question.
Yeah.
You say, how do I feel? Mark is quizzed one day when he's a famous jazz player, and they say, how do you feel when you play those lines, sir? You must feel top of the roller coaster. You go, well, as a matter of fact, I do. Reminds me of going to Europe on an unlimited budget and getting to stay anywhere I want and flying home and seeing the lights of New York, and it's autumn is just breaking.
Right.
And magically, as soon as I appear in California, autumn is over and the trees are just beginning to shed and it's becoming, you know, I mean, you can make a million beautiful.
Sure.
How you feel. I mean, sometimes I get pictures of the fall in New York from songs that aren't about the fall in New York. It just sounds. Looks beautiful.
Right, the imagery. There's more colors on your palette.
It really is those trees back there. You haven't lived there. It's not just sentiment, it's just a picture.
Right.
And back to the more important thing is your hand of the musical content. So you're saying, focused on nine.
Right.
When he did this thing. All that down, you've got.
Is that going to the two?
Now put it back in that. This pillow, we want you to do one of two things: either make it flat so it doesn't die, or reject it from your posterior area. Thank you, sir. This pillow's very fragile.
Okay.
If I asked you to sing that run, we have to train our ears to hear flat 3, 5, flat 7, 9,
right.
Then when it comes up,
that was a sharp 11 of some sort.
Sharp 11 would sound like this. It's a beautiful shape.
Right.
This. You've heard Laura?
Yeah.
Is it in your ears? The opening chords?
Not really.
Starts on a minor 9 chord. Then these two notes resolve down by a half step. And the melody goes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This part is in an inner harmony line. It's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's already moved to the correct note.
Mm-hmm. Sharp, it's the flat 9 and the sharp 5.
There you go.
By this,
that's
by
right.
Shape.
That's right. Now in the west line when he goes, that's the raised 9, temporary after the 3rd. So he's got the raised 9 and the flat 9.
Mm-hmm.
And the flat 7.
7, right.
And the raised 5 again, which he had to begin to run, that raised 5. Something like that. It's been a long time. I think it ends like that.
Uh-huh.
So do it right there. Choice of notes, right?
Super.
And if I said, Mark, why do you love it? A fairly generically sane answer is because I love the modern jazz era that deals with the upper partials, upper extensions, and or the especially cool altered notes in certain chords.
Mm-hmm.
All that modern harmonic content, whether expressed as vertical fixed blocks or as linear things where we hear it as a it's a conglomerate. No, that's not the right term. Composite.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do for now. The composite effect of that line is the same as playing a raised 9, raised 5, and getting the delightful treat of a flat 9 as well. So now we have.
Like about it too is the blues undercurrent,
that
style.
Thing, that
you know, it's got that.
Even in this line, you mean?
I think it's bluesy.
Uh huh. Okay, that's fair.
You know, in some way, I guess I have a real wide term of what blues is, but
I think what you're calling blues is the jazz content,
right?
Not the pretty ballad, not the lush.
No.
That's not jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Only the harmony is sophisticated. Did this thing reverse automatically?
Yes.
Great. I heard it too. Love that.
Yeah, dig it.
Lush harmony emanating from the Debussy period is not jazz until it meets up with other elements. This is just lush harmony.
Right.
If you start to swing and go. It's almost like what you were saying, bluesy, because where does the line end between blues and jazz?
Right.
I don't know either. I know if we're in a 12-bar form that's based on the changes to blues, then we're going to call it blues.
Right.
As far as a way of playing, because I think usually tell people blues is an attitude. If you play this scale,
big
you and I have heard it as a blues scale, so we can imagine it sounding nicer. But if I play it, quote unquote, more nicely, that could sound like this.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
This is low budget Cowboys and Indians.
Very low budget.
Very, very.
Yeah, I'm totally into the attitude. But if you come off like I'm a badass motherfucker with this axe in my hand, yeah, right.
Yeah, if it's Albert King, he says I'm a crosscut son. He's like,
I bought another album of his too, Born Under a Bad Sign.
That's a great album. Yeah. Where'd you find that?
Rhino.
That's a great album.
$6, a little beat up, but we're still playable.
Great album.
Killer.
Which tunes did you like on there?
I've only played it twice.
Okay, you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
Share some of that with me as time goes on, because
I love that music too.
I have more to recommend on that. Did you get a stereo or mono?
It's stereo, I think.
Look for a mono.
Really, is that the big collectors?
No, it's just, don't even tell people. Don't even ask the dealer and say, do you have a mono one? Just look on the sly for mono records. I'll tell you why, mono's punchy.
For the sound.
For anything rock and roll or blues, mono is usually much cooler if it's an old recording, because they weren't going for that huge sound stage and that kind of music.
Just mic it and go.
Now, classical is the opposite. I don't know if you know, you're an audiophile, aren't you?
A little bit.
Do you know about RCA shaded dogs and stuff?
No.
Okay, that's good. You don't need to know. You don't even want to know about all that. Nope. Just say that stereo's better than classical.
Okay. Fine.
Mono's much better for rhythm. Albert King, you want me to say
something? Well, that
CD.
And I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned BB a whole bunch of times, what your favorite blues albums are, mainly BB. So if I ever run across them.
His very first album on Crown,
called
Singing the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I got to share this with you. It will only take 20 seconds. My mother's brother wrote the liner notes for that record. I didn't know till I was already deep into B.B. King.
Right.
One day he says, here, I want you to have this. And he says, turn it over and read it and look at the name at the bottom. And when I saw his name there, I just
thought, you're stoked.
I couldn't believe my old mom's brother was the guy.
Great.
So it's all in the fan. But anyway, B.B.'s first album has terrific tone selections.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other older records. If I go to my BB biography, I could tell you better.
I have like the oldest I got is probably Live at the Regal.
Now that's a great album in moments, especially certain moments are great. The album that followed it, called Blues is King, which is out on CD, that's a very great live performance in a small club instead of a big arena.
Mm-hmm.
That part makes it especially nice. I'm going to, since the tape's going, we'll do it quickly. I've got my discography here.
I can put it on pause. Wait a second.
No, it's right
there.
Got
it. Okay, good. Okay.
I'm just going to go very fast because the tape will...
Yeah, give me
You're good at thinking fast.
The Ted Green...
B.B. King singles. 3 o'clock Blues has got one of the best vocals I've ever heard in my life.
Uh-huh.
That was his first big hit in 51.
Okay, these are singles.
These are singles.
Okay.
They're also on some album. Fine Looking Woman, one of the best shuffles you'll ever hear.
Oh, period. Beautiful.
Blind Love, you're going to hear where Eric Clapton got a lot of his early style.
Right.
When My Heart Beats Like a Hammer, you can hear B.B. King on a Esquire or Telly or Broadcaster. We don't know which. But it's not anything but a Fender.
Yes. Okay.
You Upset Me, Baby. The singing on that thing, he's so young and so happy, and the lyrics and the backbeat shuffle. Backbeat shuffle is one that goes bum, 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 bum. Has that heavy backbeat thing.
Right.
Sneaking Around, there's only one guitar lick on the whole cut.
That's
it's about 12 seconds into it.
Mm-hmm.
You will not believe the tone. If he got that tone once, why did he ever
lose
anything else?
Right.
Why did he go to any other sound?
Okay.
It's that good. The lyrics in that and the vocals are strange. It's a doo-wop. It's boom. Be-do-be. You'll hear these background vocals like that. You go, B.B. King?
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to his vocal at the last part of that cut, Sneaking Around, you go, wow, is he singing it? My favorite B.B. King vocal, 10 long years.
Okay.
You've never heard anybody sing better in your life.
Okay, great.
I'm not kidding, man. It's that good.
I have that book, too, so I could have a reference.
Oh, you have this book?
Yeah, right.
Great, it'll really do it. Be Careful with a Fool. That's got some good moments. You Know I Go For You, Days of Old. These are some Eric Clapton influencing things.
Sure.
They sound like the Nail album. You'll say, these could be outtakes from John Mayer.
Right.
His tone on some of these.
With Freddie.
These are all singles. Now we go to the LPs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the very first album has got 3 o'clock Blues, which I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You Upset Me, Baby. Please Love Me. Blind Love is this Clapton sound.
Mm-hmm.
already mentioned 10 Long Years. Crime Won't Help You is that amazing tone that was on 10 Long Years.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention it. There's a tone on 10 Long Years. You know what? You won't go home tonight without me playing you a little bit.
Sure.
I have it right here. You got
to
hear it.
Oh,
it's just
sensational. Oh, I love it. Please. Please.
There's a cut on his second album. Second album is great, mm-hmm. also. I don't have it, but
okay.
I know some of the cuts. One of them's called You Know I Go For You.
Mm-hmm.
If you see any album that has that cut on it,
go for
you
it.
You will love it. The third album, these are still on Crown Records,
mm-hmm.
right? Has a song on it called Sweet Thing. You're just going to love the lyrics. You're going to start laughing when you hear it. It's that funny.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for you. There's a one of the next albums, I don't know where it is because they don't list it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Trying to be complete, but they miss it. Boss of the Blues, it's on Kent.
Okay.
It has the following tunes on it. You Don't Know, these are good ones. I made a star list mm-hmm. of these. The Blues Has Got Me. Oh, is that good? I Had a Woman, 10 Long Years, it's that same one. You Know I Go For You, the same one I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Days of Old, I already mentioned that. So it's really a rehash of some of the others if you
okay.
can't find them. The fifth album has only got one amazing cut, A Whole Lot of Lovin'. Did I mention that earlier as a shuffle single? I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I mentioned Fine Looking Woman. A Whole Lot of Lovin', I think, is the best shuffle of all.
Okay.
Anything with that on might be worth a try. King of the Blues. It's got great songs on it. There's a soul album called
all this
King.
Stuff is mainly in like the late 50s or something?
These
or?
Are all in the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah. You might just write these titles down of these albums from here on in. King of the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
BB's favorite album is called My Kind of Blues. Side 2 is happening, but I wrote down Side 1 is not. I don't know why. Easy Listening. No, that's the name of the first cut. It's an instrumental. No, it's not one of his better records.
Okay.
I wrote down. Scratch that. Ooh, this is a good one. I remember this album. Rock Me Baby, subtitled B.B. King's 14 Greatest Hits
mm-hmm.
on Kent. Has the one, many ones I mentioned already. Ooh, Bad Case of Love, too. That's a good one.
Good tune.
Great feel. Different than the other. Here's one of his most impressive albums on Kent. That wasn't a rehash of earlier ones. It seemed like it was all new songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Jungle.
Okay.
Shows him on the cover with a 330 lying
mm-hmm.
in a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some great songs on there. This alone is the price of admission. It's called 5 Long Years, not 10 Long Years.
Okay.
This is an art form song in terms of phrasing. He's never phrased better than he phrases there. His solo is a mess. He's got also, I got to warn you, his tone might be the thinnest he's ever used.
Really?
Terrible tone with the most remarkable phrasing yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that dichotomy found its way into the physical universe, but it did. Because you will not like his sound. And you start to go past it, and then you say, wait a minute.
Listen to what he's playing.
Right away, what will capture you when you let it is the beat. The beat has got to be about... I mean, slow
mm-hmm.
for him. Even his normal slow blues is about here.
Right.
This is the slowest slow blues. They're all going...
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep a band...
Right. Driving
and,
on that.
And still driving.
Yeah.
And when he plays his solo, it is the most conversational
mm-hmm.
thing since Louis Armstrong.
Really?
So if you copied that solo note for note with a much better tone, you'd learn a hell of a lot. And so would I. I admit. Here we have a collection of, sometimes it's called the Memphis Masters,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's called Original Folk Blues, sometimes it's called the Incredible Soul of B.B. King, whatever it is, here's a way to recognize it. If it's got the B.B. Boogie,
mm-hmm.
and if it's got a fine looking woman, and B.B.'s Blues, you're looking at stuff recorded from 51 through 52.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Good stuff. We're almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Here's stuff that is absolutely one of his best albums. It's called The Incredible Soul of B.B. King. It's on Kent. number 539. Here's some of the great songs on it. I Got Papers on You, Baby. Tomorrow's Another Day. Come By Here. It's a Calypso song. It sounds great. Baby doing Calypso. We're Jamaican. It's almost gospel, but then you hear this Calypso song. Ooh, baby, won't you come by here? It sounds like, Evan, come by here.
I bought
You bought gospel, is that what you're saying?
I bought a CD. Wow. Fairfield 4, are you familiar with them?
No.
Standing in the safety zone?
The only one I can say I love, I'm very ignorant of gospel, is the Golden Gate Quartet. I bought
really?
Their stuff.
They're great.
An old group.
This is fairly. These guys are. But anyway, go with.
Yeah, come by here, yeah. The Woman I Love, intro solo. Sweet Thing, We Can't Make It. Treat Me Right. Time to Say Goodbye. I'm Cracking Up Over You. This is the only BB album that almost every cut is great. Yeah.
Now these probably don't come out on reissues too often, huh?
These are all LPs, okay? But when you know a lot of these titles from your discography, you write down some of the choicer ones, and I'll give you a taste of them tonight before you leave, and then you'll know. Any CD that has some of these on it would be worth a try.
Sure.
Especially if you buy it at certain places. They actually let you return it now if you're unhappy for any reason. Yeah. They don't even care if it's because you don't like it. They'll take it back. Live at the Regal, you know all about Blues King.
Because Rhino, I have found some good blues there, but generally their blues selection is not that big.
Nobody's blues. That's normal. Big, you know, you just got to keep going. I cry all the towers, and I find every tower is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Tower in Sherman Oaks is really good for blues.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Really.
Pretty fat. And Tower Northridge, pretty fat blues selection up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I'd like, but pretty fat.
Right.
I've gotten Freddie King albums and
Bobby
King.
Lots of Freddie.
Okay. Let's see. Live and Well and Completely Well. Do you know about those two records?
Live and Well, I'm familiar with.
He made those where he was a different guy. He had decided he had let himself be influenced by the younger guys. So he was starting to feed back.
Right.
And play with a darker, fuzzier sound.
Okay.
And it's right before his sound got distinguishingly worse, I would say. He plays some of the best stuff I've ever heard him play on both those records.
Mm.
So they're really great. There used to be a CD and or LP double package. You could get them both together for cheaper. So if you see that used, you might just want to buy it. The price is right.
Great, thank you.
And do you know the solo from Sweet Little Angel live at the Regal at all?
I don't know. I haven't listened to that CD in some time.
One last point, and then we'll get to the rest of it. Just about how BB tends to finger things.
Sure.
In case you listen back to it, you go, you know what? Of all the solos on this thing, I got to chase this one down because it sounds like the hardest one to play and phrase
it
all close to the record, and it sounds like it's got the most interesting note selection.
Right.
When
this
plays,
is on Live at the Regal.
Live at the Regal. Okay. It's deep into the cut of Sweet Little Angel where he sung and he sung and he sung. The audience is into it totally because of the double entendre.
Right.
I got a Sweet Little Angel. I love the way she spread her wings.
Mm-hmm.
The way he says it. When she spread her wings.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong tense of the verb.
Right.
But it's their language, and these girls in the audience just scream.
Yeah.
They love it. They know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, he sings, and and me and other musicians are waiting. Please solo. The feel is so good on the song. We hope he's going to take a solo.
Uh-huh.
And he's playing with that big sound he got in a live Chicago arena with his amp just filling the place up.
Right.
He had to turn it up to fill the place up, so he's getting better.
He says he always puts on 10 or something like that.
I guess I'm in the wrong channel. Mark, if you could just switch my cord to the cord of the other.
Just unplug this one?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
So it's got this kind of sound.
Okay.
It's got some reverb.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now the band, before he plays that lick, here's what's happened. The band has gone. He's gone. They've done their so how would he phrase it to come in? That's close. He waits quite a while. Quite a while. Let's see if we enter in the same place, roughly. There are a lot of options. it too long. I screwed it up. That wasn't bad. That was a... I think this ends up about on the downbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually coming in front of the downbeat, but he could have gone, if he were praising way before it beat, which doesn't even have the same effect.
No, it's a little square.
It is, it really is. Mm-hmm. So he puts it together in a boo-boo vibe. It's not so conversational, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would he finger? He's got a sixth instead of, he's not playing blues scale.
Right, right. So they talk about that, about his, that scale. He uses the sixth. Okay,
he
could
finger it so he's behind the bar by one fret, and then come in with his middle finger on both of the thirds. Now he's back into the bar position. So my fingering on that is 4-1-4-2 slide, and then 3 right back in there. You know? Looks fairly efficient.
Yeah.
Okay. In the bar position.
Different tone, a little fatter tone.
He plays off of this position a lot,
right?
Especially in those days when he was a T-Bone Walker disciple, which that's another story.
Right.
A wonderful story.
T-Bone?
Yeah, T-Bone. What a great story that is.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole thing that he even led, you know, and that he gave us this great music. So then he plays this thing where he plays in the blues scale, which is rare for BB to just use only the straight, exact blues scale notes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing... doesn't seem like his kind of lick.
Right. No. No, I want to hear, have him hear that six and bending up from the ninth. When it goes
up
to the four. When it goes
the
to
nine.
The...
You know what you mean.
Yeah.
That's important. I'm not sure I know what you mean. I know you know that you know what you mean.
Okay.
Anyway, this phrase here, that's Django. To go. What we call BB.
Right.
It's a lot of Django, if you listen back to Django records. He liked to go end on two notes. BB picked it up. So what does he do? Does he stay in the blues scale? No, he's back in. Major third and a sixth, emphasizing.
Right.
If you had to put it into a scale form, you'd say it's taking notes out of the major.
Major, right.
But it's got that blue inflection. It's not going...
Right.
It's not just a third. That doesn't sound right.
Right.
It doesn't
sound you need that.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
He likes that vibrato on the last note of phrases. His vibrato became faster. His earlier vibrato was slower sometimes. When he bends for this note... He's just going after the root, so he's using the standard fourth finger, second string, with support from
the other
two
guys.
Fingers. Yeah, you don't need the third finger; you can do it. But I always use the first two behind the fourth one, with the appropriate skipping fret.
Right.
This was his favorite bend for many, many years.
Going up to the root,
second string going to the root, because he used to have a very fat third string, so I don't think he even messed with that. Then he comes out of this and goes,
just down.
This real fast blues scale. Then he's right quick into a bend, right? Now this is different for him. He goes, I think that's been a long time, Mark, since I studied it, but I think it's that.
When you study these guys, because it's not, it seems, for me when I hear it, I play a lot with Freddie King. Put on a Freddie King album and play with it, because it's Friday afternoon and I want to blow some steam off, you know?
That's great.
But figuring the notes a lot of times is not the problem.
What is
the phrasing?
That's right.
And getting their feel. I mean, do you have any little methodologies like you mentioned?
Slow it down. Put it at half speed.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. When you can phrase it at half speed, you've got more space, so any discrepancy in your phrase is more audible to you.
You can hear it better.
If BB comes in back to the, let's say he starts it.
Right.
Say that's at half speed, it'll be. Anyway, when it gets to that part,
Boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Suddenly here. Right. Instead of where I might be ahead of him, getting too eager.
Uh-huh.
You'll hear that he wait. I'll say, Dad, slow down now. He relaxes more. Then you put it back to speed and say, okay, I'm going to try to play with him. You say, God, I'm still ahead of him or late or something. Then you figure out, you listen back on half speed. It's a great tool.
I've tried.
You understand
one.
This? Yes.
Yes.
For yeah. phrasing, the pitches get all wiped out. If they're
already
low,
down
in here. So.
But I understand what you're saying.
Putting it low vibe if it's disturbing to you as an aural thing where you hear it just...
Yeah. I did this like around Christmas time to Stevie Ray Vaughan tune. I put it in half speed. And I learned a lot. But Franklin starts scaring the shit out of me.
What scared the shit?
Scaring the shit out of me.
Because he was so good, you mean?
Just, I don't know, the sound, it starts scaring me.
Oh, at half speed?
Yeah.
It is a scary
It was
sound.
Like...
It's like monsters and stuff.
Yeah, well, and then I got into the blues thing. Like, blues is sort of scary sometimes.
It's a darker music.
Right.
It is.
You know, the whole thing with the crossroads and...
Well, I don't believe that.
No, but, I mean, still, the folklore and stuff. And so anyway, I don't know why, I just got scared.
Well, you know what? There are reasons for some people not to play blues.
Mm-hmm.
If we're fair to the planetary energy sometimes,
right?
Because we live on it. A lot of folk playing blues. A lot of folk playing blues. A lot of folk standing up for...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I love, you know, that's
But there are a lot of folk who aren't playing.
Right.
Since you're drawn to the beauty, maybe you are supposed to stress it. I have to keep reminding myself, because part of me wants to be a young buck all the time and go...
Yeah.
But I said, there are a lot of buck out there. Don't make that your thing so much, man.
Uh-huh.
Not that I don't love it, but I'm trying to be mindful of myself that I got to represent beauty out there.
Yeah.
Actually, people are hungry for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. When I played live this year, the thing that touched people the most is when I played two of the pretty things. They'd watch me play. I was trying to really groove strong that night.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of one particular night where I was just, man, I tuned the strings down, you know, that's
right. Sure.
And I was hitting them low notes, stomping down there.
But you had the most positive response from beautiful things.
I actually did. It's like, I mean, you have the louder cheering when you do things that groove.
Right.
It's normal. But
it makes people,
at the end of a ballad, they don't scream in the same way. You don't get those coyote and or large bear noises. You get something else that you know is deeper when people come up and say, man, I can't believe. So this one big guy, his wife, who was the singer I'm working with, she said, he never says things like that, you know. But it really is different if he could say that.
Right.
She says, you know, I almost had a tear, he said.
Wow.
He's a big guy to say, I almost had a tear means he probably did have a tear. And he just a small one and he wiped it away. But that means he was moved.
Dynamite.
And he was thrilled to be moved because just the beauty.
Right.
But he didn't say ever on our group tunes, you know, I want to go home and create a new child tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, because he liked it, but it never moved him that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Yeah. So I know some of us are supposed to represent this.
I just gravitate towards it more, I believe.
Beauty.
But the blues, I have a lot of feelings for it.
I do too.
You know, and I want to, I still don't think I should turn my back on it, but, you know.
Yeah, I hear something that says it all to me that I forget. I have to, again, just wean myself from it because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
This could score a knife fight.
Right.
Is that what I want the score to write on this James Code? His music could have been great for a knife fight.
Right.
That's what the angels say. And I say, well, am I getting in the club where the cool guy go, well, the memo from the chief is your music was just beautiful for a knife fight. So we're putting you
where
the knife fight is, because
right.
that's what you loved it, Bradley.
Right.
Didn't you? Isn't that true?
It's just
we've told the chief your message, but he says, well, if that's not true, why did you play so much?
Right.
It's I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, I agree. Just like, you know, some of the headbanger stuff, I listen and I go, heck, and those kids do that night in and night out. I just must drive them nuts, you know? But somehow they're into that hard armor, you know?
There is something else that happens when you're in the drug culture where your body is so different. Your nervous system's out there, you know, you've probably been there.
Oh, yeah, but we didn't do that.
When you're young.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
We did some other... I played really loud. I played with two concerts on full blast. It's loud.
Mm-hmm.
Not as loud as the kids, but it was loud enough to be scary.
Sure.
And I, you know, I'd be dropping psychedelics that night. Why not? Like, why not? Be driving in Laurel, Topanga Canyon on those twisted roads.
Right.
Crazy.
No experiences like that.
So,
I agree.
We were crazy, and today's kids are crazier. And the body, when it's young, can withstand apparently much more abuse. Because
that's true.
I think Crater gives you a free ride for quite some time on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. You know, food, kids put away 6 cheeseburgers, they walk away.
And then
don't play basketball.
Then the big guy goes, hey, man, here's the door, and you're going through it. So,
time to be a little bit responsible. You can order 2 cheeseburgers, boys.
Right.
All you football players, 2 cheeseburgers now. Stop to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Etc.
That's true, and so anyway, it's all great stuff. I just have to gravitate towards the stuff I love.
I will say this: there's a happy spot in between blues and beauty.
Right.
It's when you play 2-beat bounce, which can be the bouncy, bubbly stride style.
Okay.
As in.
Right.
I didn't mean to put that major 7.
That's cool. That's real cool.
This is an old blues song.
Isn't that more of a country, sort of a country, not as urban, or?
Absolutely more rural sounding to my ears. It's that whole texture of, I don't know why, it's less. But yet New Orleans, if you roll it instead of bounce it, if you play this feel, I'm going to change my tone here. I think I'll change the key.
Dr. John, I love him. I saw him at the Will tournament around the holidays.
He's doing one of my heroes too, all those guys.
Doing Professor Longhair.
Yeah.
Ooh. I love his.
All you do is you take that bounce, remove the bounce, keep the feel, and make your bass occasionally be conversational.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I understand.
Instead
that
of going. So we move the shuffle and play first.
Okay.
Think of Ray Charles going. A flat's a great key for this. It just sounds raunchy.
Right.
Not being excessively raunchy. If this is the soundtrack of my life, it isn't a knife fight. This is definitely not a knife fight, right?
Right.
Where's this?
Yeah.
That could be like, you know. I mean, it's, I don't know what this is. It's
sure.
Like loud in a bar, you know. Like,
no,
they go to the bar where they play happy
it's
music.
It's like, I did learn this week, Mercy, Mercy, Mercy.
But it's a little more funky because it's 16th. There's a lot of 16th in there or something in it. So, it's got this little glass of pupils when you have to know it today. Still sitting with my last one. Is it starting to sink in? Who didn't blame? I told you, you gotta bend it slow, right? No, you can get it, but you just have to love that note. But he is something else. Isn't he special, man? I think so. I don't know of any, like I wrote in there, I just don't know anything better for that style. I've never found it.